Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. And it's a continuation of Jesus teaching his disciples about the kind of culture they are to have, the kind of way they are to be with one another. And it's the beginning of the formation of the first church community. So it's also a teaching for us on how to have a culture of forgiveness, especially with one another. Now, in this scripture reading, it may seem like there's quite a few extremes in it, but when rabbis taught in those days, I'm not sure if they still teach this way now, but they would often teach with extremes in their stories, not only to just get the attention of their students, but also to help them see the importance of what they were teaching. So they weren't meant to take it literally as much as they were to take the reading and the teachings as seeing it's very significant to listen and to obey with what the teaching is. So this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, the Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.'" Now, it's important to know in this that one talent, compared to the weight of gold it was in those days, was worth, or would be today, worth $1.25 million. One talent. So he owes him 10,000 times that amount. So out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave that huge debt. But that same slave then, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, "Pay what you owe." Now, this is good to know. 6,000 denarii equals one talent. So remember that it's not that much that this one owed him. He had just been forgiven 10,000 talents, but he's after this guy for just 100 denarii. So then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported it to their lord, all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt, basically for eternity. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Once upon a time, a minister decided to use a parable about four worms to illustrate how sins hurt us. She said, "Four worms were placed into four separate jars. The first worm was put into a container of alcohol. The second worm was put into a container of cigarette smoke. The third worm was put into a container of chocolate syrup. And the fourth worm was put into a container of good, clean soil. At the conclusion of the sermon, the minister reported the following results. The first worm and alcohol, dead. The second worm in cigarette smoke, dead. The third worm in chocolate syrup, dead. The fourth worm in good, clean soil, alive, of course. And so she said, "What did you learn from this demonstration?" Well, a woman named Maxine, who was sitting in the back row of the church, raised her hand enthusiastically and said, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you won't have worms." Yeah, Maxine jokes are pretty fun. And I imagine the minister forgave Maxine for ruining the lesson of the day. But maybe not. Maybe that minister held a grudge against someone like Maxine and decided she was just never going to talk to her again. How do you think that would work in a church over time? Would holding a grudge against Maxine or someone in the church family, what would that do to the whole church culture, to the whole church vibes, as we say now, to our connections with one another? Do you think other people would know and feel the silence and maybe the not-so-silent hostility between them? It's amazing how we can feel, even without words, how people feel about us or about others. Grudges, hostilities, long-lasting hurts, they happen in all communities, not just in churches. Any club or regular social gathering has to deal with cliques that form and tribalism. But that doesn't mean it's healthy or what God intends for us to do in relationship with one another. So today, Jesus continues his teaching on how to get along. He basically says, to get along, you must forgive a zillion times and mean it. Because in other passages that are similar to this one, when he's teaching about this, he says 77 times 7, which basically is code for a zillion times. This kind of forgiveness that Jesus is teaching about is not cheap forgiveness. It's not easy forgiveness. It's about deep forgiveness that includes understanding and empathy along with it. For deep healing to result, forgiveness must be real and sincere. Now, I have a girlfriend who experienced this kind of forgiveness in her life after being raised by an alcoholic father. He actually beat all 9 of his kids during the week and then went off to Catholic Mass on Sunday, where he was treated like a pillar of the church. So the kids didn't think anyone would believe them if they reported the abuse that they were receiving from him. And you can imagine they also refused to go to church as they got older because they considered it hypocrisy for their father to be treated as if he was such a godly man. My friend explained to me what the abuse was like. She gave this example. One time when she was 6 years old, she was outside in their front yard of their home in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and a fancy red car went by. And she just gave the driver a friendly little wave when she saw the car, and suddenly she felt her father kick her so hard from behind, she flew up in the air. Instead of her dad explaining to her that it wasn't safe to wave at strangers passing by, He kicked her so hard she saw stars and couldn't sit down for many days because her tailbone hurt so badly. Now looking back, she realizes he was drunk and maybe waving at the strange car scared him for her safety. And over time, she did forgive him for his mental derangement and alcoholic illness. But she never, ever forgot that pain and how cruel he was to all of them, when he was drinking especially. As he aged and when her dad became very ill and he was about to pass, my friend was an ICU nurse by that time. So she went to his bedside and helped him stay comfortable and go peacefully. And I really admired her ability to do that when none of the rest of the family, including her own mother by that time, could show any mercy to him at his time of death. She was the only one. And I know my friend still carries the emotional scars of being traumatized many times as a child. She's mistrusting of most men. She reacts negatively to sudden loud noises or surprises. And she, of course, never drinks a drop of alcohol to ward against becoming like her dad. Kathy, though, now attends up in Seattle a United Church of Christ, where she embraced the love of Christ and the concept of forgiveness as a healing power when she had children. She decided they needed to learn this, they needed to go to church, and that's what got her to go to a different kind of church. She was able to see through all of the teachings of Jesus and all of what the church family was like. She was able to see finally beyond her father's faults and sins by looking back to his childhood and the abuse that she knows he suffered at the hands of his own father. Kathy was able to forgive because she stopped blaming herself for the abuse too. And she understood that her father was mentally ill and had a disease that made him incapable of caring for his children as a father should. Now, author Scott Hosey, who wrote a book about forgiveness, says that Matthew 18 reminds us of a core Christian conviction. Forgiveness is something we live, something we embody every moment. He says the very foundation on which our identity as Christians is built is nothing less than the death and resurrection of Jesus and the flood of gracious forgiveness which that grand sacrifice unleashed. Remember, Jesus said while he was on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." When you have road rage, say that to yourself. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you get impatient in the grocery store line, or you have to go to the DMV and wait in line there, or if you hear someone gossip, say in your mind, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." It can be a new mantra that really does give you more of a sense of peace inside. When you are disrespected or treated unfairly, stand up for yourself. Demand justice when oppressed, but also repeat to yourself, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiving abuse doesn't mean you don't report it, and it doesn't mean you have to have a relationship with the person again in a close relationship, because you should protect yourself from further abuse. And you still must confront the sin, though, in the situation and not just try to avoid it. But if you approach the situation or the sin or the person with an attitude of restorative justice, that includes a willingness to, over time, forgive and then heal and learn and find a way forward to get some resolution and reconciliation eventually. It may take years for that to happen, for you to be ready. So there's no rush in this process, But when you're on the road to restorative justice, just the journey can be very healing. Dr. Hosey says, forgiveness is not a tool you need just once in a while. Forgiveness is not like that Phillips screwdriver that you keep out in the garage and you fetch now and then when a kitchen cabinet is loose. Forgiveness is more like the clothes on your back. Forgiveness goes with you, it accompanies you, and is needed by you everywhere you go. So what does this lesson from Jesus today then imply? For one thing, it implies that each and every one of us needs to be forgiven by God and by others every day. Most days, we don't feel as if we've committed any huge sins. If we did something wrong, we might say to ourselves, I was just making sure I didn't get worms. But most days we finish the day having kept most of the Ten Commandments. If you take a self-assessment each night and go through the list, you can probably say, I did not commit adultery today, check. I did not embezzle money today, check. I did not get stopped for drunk driving today, check. We usually go to bed feeling pretty good and pretty proud of ourselves, right? But C.S. Lewis said, pride is the mother of all sins. Pride is the mother of all sins. If our egos get too focused on ourselves, then we can't see the hurt that we may be causing others, maybe just through neglect. Our sins will continue to pile up if unchecked. And then something small may bring the whole pile of sins crashing down upon us, and then we feel hopeless. Humbling ourselves helps us become aware of our universal need for daily forgiveness and renewal from God and from one another. And it facilitates that deep reconciliation with God that we know we need, because we can never hide from God. Lewis Smedes said, the more keenly aware you are of your getting the gift of forgiveness every day, the more inclined you will be to distribute forgiveness to those who need to hear a healing, restorative word from you. And of course, notice in our Lord's Prayer, we say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This teaching in Matthew 18 is the reference used by the Presbyterian Church to explain why we say debts rather than sins. But the meaning of debts in this passage is the same as sins. The king forgave the servant all his sins, as God forgives us all our sins. So we are to go out and forgive others and forgive their sins against us at least 490 times, which is the code for an infinite number of times. This teaching about God's abiding forgiveness of us and of our forgiving others tells us that we must forgive. It is another command, like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love your neighbor as yourself. God forgiving us and our forgiving others is the formula for getting along in community. Jesus is sharing God's power with us in this teaching on forgiveness. Forgiveness gives us the ability to heal ourselves and heal others too. The power of forgiveness is so great that it simply must and will change us if we use that power on a daily basis. Kathy's forgiveness, my friend's forgiveness, it not only helped her father on his deathbed, but it also healed her own soul. The internal bitterness that she had been carrying many years dissolved into empathy. She decided that life is too short to carry the burden of a heavy heart. So Kathy freed herself from the trap of bitterness through the power of forgiveness and compassion. And that's emphasized in this quote, Eddie, if you want to put up the quote. It says, life is too short to carry the burden of a heavy heart. It does not serve you or anyone else. So free yourself through the power of forgiveness and compassion. Jesus was directing his disciples on this, and us now, to offer forgiveness daily, even when we don't feel capable. We can do this because we are not alone in the forgiving. The forgiving King of all creation shares powerful grace through us and uses us to make the world a little more like the kingdom of God day by day. Of all the lessons in forgiveness, though, I think this example of deep, heartfelt forgiveness is one of the most incredible that's happened in our recent history. You'll remember the parents in the town of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. They found it in their hearts to forgive the mother of the young man who shot 10 Amish girls and himself in their schoolhouse a few years ago. Letting go of grudges is a deeply rooted value in Amish culture, but the Amish willingness to forego vengeance does not undo the tragedy or pardon the wrong that happened. Rather, the forgiveness starts a first step toward a future that is more hopeful. So let's just watch this quick video about what happened and turn the lights down. A future made possible because of forgiveness. An attitude of forgiveness is healthy for everyone's body, mind, and spirit. Your future is made possible by forgiveness. The forgiveness of Jesus Christ is made possible because of his loving, forgiving heart. And it's the most powerful forgiveness ever created and ever given. So go and share that healing forgiveness in all your encounters here in this community and out into the world. Amen.